Hello, Eagles fans, and welcome to the Eagles Insider Podcast. I'm Chris McPherson, joined by Bo Wolf and Fran Duffy. Missed you guys. A little bye week there. You know, it's time to get away, but, you know, the Eagles are doing so well that you don't want to be away from the family, so to speak.
We did a show last week.
I know. You know,
I didn't mind the bye.
You didn't mind it?
No, I didn't mind
That's
it.
That's Bo's way of saying he didn't miss you.
Yeah, pretty much,
basically, yeah.
I mean, look at the smile on his face. Of course he didn't miss me at all during it. So
Eagles Bo Weekly.
Trying to work it in there?
Yeah, I tried to work it in. It didn't really work.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't worked it in there. Yeah,
so. Bo made a trip to Cosmo, as you can see.
Yeah, of course I made a trip to Cosmo. Yes. Like, what else would I have done with
did
my
Did you drive up to New York just to see Cosmo and then drive home this time? Or was it, did you stay
no, all within his span?
Stayed in New York this time. I actually had my 10th high school reunion.
Really?
Yeah, very weird.
Wow.
I've got that coming up, I think.
You guys make me feel old here.
Yeah.
What are you, at 25?
Not quite that far yet. So, 98, so it's been a while.
98 years since you graduated
98
high school?
Years, yes.
You are old.
Telling you.
Wow.
So, were you like the big man on campus going back to high school?
No,
like,
I wouldn't,
you know,
say that. I mean, I'm the big man on campus basically everywhere I go.
Well, yeah.
But, so there's no change. It's not like it felt any different, but. You know, it was weird.
Some, I mean, how
some
many
people I haven't seen in a long time.
I mean, how many of your fellow alums have been in a 30 for 30 documentary, worked for
a
pro
question.
Sports team? You know,
that's
it's
a good question. Yeah, how many have interviewed a player next to a vending machine? I guess I don't know.
That is true.
Multiple players next to
multiple
a
players.
Machine.
Yes, yeah. A couple Eagles Hall of Famers. You know,
I have to say, it doesn't feel the same without the headphones, guys. I feel like I'm not quite as connected.
It's not
to
as
you.
Intimate.
Yeah. No.
Definitely not. And my friend, how'd you enjoy your bye weekend? You watched every game, didn't you?
No, I didn't watch any.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't watch any.
College. You watched
Meg
every
I,
college game.
No. Meg
the
and
wife.
I
this is the difference in being married.
Meg
this
and
is
I,
it.
Meg and I took a nice trip up to Rhode Island.
Very nice.
Her cousin goes to
Ball
Johnson
foliage.
Wells. Yeah. So we took a trip up there. And yeah, it was nice. Nice little
wow.
weekend.
Wow. You were itching the whole time, though, weren't you? You were probably like,
I had
what's
I had
happening?
The Florida State Notre Dame game on in the hotel. I'm not gonna lie, but no, it was a good trip. Came back
not
Sunday,
bad.
Caught a little of the Sunday night game. Watched Peyton break the record.
Okay,
and back in Monday, ready for the Cardinals.
Yeah, parents came down from Jersey, had dinner with them Sunday night.
There you go.
Saturday, took my oldest son Julian on a Cub Scout trip for the day. A little fall festival action. Trent Cole will be very proud. Learned to shoot a BB gun.
Okay,
shot a bow and arrow action. Some slingshots. So. You know, it was a good time.
At what point do you send him out for like a week with Trent in the wilderness?
Oh my lord! The funny thing is, when I first told him we were shooting BB guns, he was like, "Well, what do we get to shoot? Animals?" And I'm like, "I've never gone hunting in my life." So I'm like, "Where is he getting this from?" So Trent would be very proud. That would be totally different experience though, sending him out there.
Yes.
I do want to tell Trent though, just be like, he'd be so excited. You know, Trent, like, oh, you got to give him this bow, this arrow.
Right.
He'd probably outfit him. He probably would give him the whole Trent Cole gear from top to bottom.
Well, see, we're obviously in the Xfinity studio. We're away from our normal habitat here. But so Brian can't chip in, but maybe your son could have the ETN experience with Trent Cole hunting.
Ooh.
One of our producers was out in the wild with Trent and was stuck on the ground in the bushes as a group of black bears. Was it black bears, brown bears?
Black
bears walked by, and Trent was on the comm saying, "Do not move; they will rip you to pieces." And he
really?
Was stuck in the bush. Yeah, so if Julian wants a real taste of
who
was
that?
Like, it was Doug. So it was
that's crazy.
It's, there you go. It's the real
they
experience.
They spray themselves with the pee and the.
That's a good question. I didn't get into it that much.
I think I don't think they're spray. I think they just pee on
real.
Each other.
But yeah, if he really wants a taste, he can. Him and Trent can go out to Alberta. I believe it was
Alberta,
Canada.
That's right.
So that being
said,
was
that with Jason Baboon?
Was with Jason Baboon. That's correct.
Okay, I remember that.
Sip of the cap to the cartoon Detroit Lions.
It's the best of all time, I
there
would
you go.
Say.
Yes.
And
is that your shining
moment? And it didn't really even get enough national traction, unlike later cartoons. But
correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I've been working on my. Rookie sophomore fantasy basketball league. We're having the draft ongoing.
You're sick, man.
Maybe my favorite fantasy league. Yeah.
Just fantasy. So. Other fantasy sports so tough to file because you have to do it every single day.
Oh, well, that's what I like about the rookie sophomores. The rosters are so small. You don't have to change your lineup very often.
You're a degenerate. You would be.
It's
if
a
you,
great
if,
league.
If you, if like I feel like if you weren't what you are, you would be a degenerate gambler.
I'm already a degenerate.
Degenerate, so, yeah. You're just changing the noun after. That's all it is. So,
it's my favorite league. What can I say?
How are you guys doing in our
fantasy league?
I took down FanDuel.com this week.
Oh, there you go.
Big win. So I think I'm 4-3 or. Yeah, I think 4-3.
I'm 3-4. I lost to the zombie, Damon Heberling, from ETN, who just hides in the control room editing all day, and I'm probably just really, when he's not editing game plan,
I'll be overseeing him shortly. That's what I was going to say.
You know?
Oh, I like that.
There you go.
I'll be overseeing him.
I meant over there, seeing him.
You'll be overseeing him. That's right. That's fair.
I also pulled in an L this week. I had LeSean McCoy and Nick Foles on the bye, so...
good plan.
Get those guys back this week, and
you didn't watch Fantasy Spin.
That's right,
with Bo and Joe.
Yes.
That being said, so Eagles 5-1, second place now in the NFC East.
I like that. Ready to pounce.
Your thoughts on the results? If not watching obviously very closely, how everything unfolded with the Giants falling to the Cowboys and Washington getting the close
win. I find it so hard knowing that. Things are going to change so much in the second half of the season. Like I can't really think about one game out of first place or get even that excited about a 5-1 start for the Eagles because there's so much of the season left to be played. You think about years past, the best teams in the first half of the season are not going to be the best teams at the end of the year. So I like the fact that the Eagles have racked up these 5 wins and they've really only played one complete game. Whereas the Cowboys are sort of firing on all cylinders, but they're running DeMarco Murray into the ground. It seems like they only have room to go down. I mean, maybe this is just wishful thinking, but maybe this is my midnight green-colored glasses. But I feel like the Eagles are still ascending in terms of performance, and the Cowboys are sort of plateauing.
Yeah, I mean, right now, you said it. Right, it's a week-to-week league. I mean, 2 weeks ago, Seattle, coming off that Monday night win, they were world beaters. Their offense was unstoppable. Russell Wilson's MVP. And now you look at that team, and they're in all kinds of having all kinds of issues trading Percy Harvin, some of the other things that are being reported out there. Cincinnati, 3 or 4 weeks ago, was the best team in the league, number one team in the league.
Yeah.
And now 3 weeks later, I think they've lost two of the last three, and lots of questions surrounding that team. And the tie against Carolina, that's right. So, look, it's a week to week league. Obviously, Dallas at 6-1, they've earned it. They are what their record says they are, but they've heard that one before, Bill Parcells. But they have a definite formula to how they win games, and they haven't been challenged yet to get away from that formula. And when they are, we'll see how it goes for them.
I'm very interested to see if this is going to be the plateau for them, if they can maintain this high level play throughout the rest of the season, or at some point. An injury here. I mean, their offensive line has been dominant.
Right.
It's amazing the protection that Tony Romo was getting. The holes are open up there for DeMarco Murray. Can this team sustain it, or will something come along the way? It's just a shame that the first Eagles-Cowboys meeting isn't until Thanksgiving.
I know.
And it's phenomenal that's on Thanksgiving. It's going to be an awesome game as long as these teams both keep going in this direction.
Two games in 17 days.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is that, okay, so you have to wait till Thanksgiving, and then – 2 weeks later, not even pretty much, or just over 2 weeks later, they're going to be battling again. So, and that's going to be their head-to-head series for the season.
What do you think was the? There's the reports of the Cowboys had to get rid of Kyle Orton because the relationship with him and Tony Romo was so strained.
No.
Do you think the deal was with that?
I thought there was a Brandon Whedon joke coming.
I thought so as
that
well.
That's obviously where I would have led. I would have gone down the road eventually. But what? It's weird to me. Like,
what's the beef?
Kyle Orton and Tony Romo beef.
That's a good question.
Maybe Kyle Orton wanted to see more out of the quarterback, saying you're not doing enough.
That's a good question.
Not showing enough leadership. I don't know. They've been taking the ball out of Romo's hands.
You look at
the amount of throws they had, and the amount of complete. I mean, fewer than 20 completions. Nick Foles hasn't had that all season, and that's been a couple times now for Romo. It's pretty much. Pounding ground, which you would not have thought with Scott Linehan taking over as the offensive coordinator.
No, I mean, it's good coaching because it's understanding what your flaws are and where.
Maybe. It could be sort of short-term sacrificing the long-term coaching. We'll see.
Well, I mean, right now, this is what's going to win them games.
Yeah.
I mean, they may not win games going away from what they're doing right now. So, obviously, you're hoping, if you're the Cowboys, you're hoping that DeMarco Murray is going to last you the rest of the season. I can't imagine they're going to get that kind of production out of Joseph Randle and Lance Dunbar. So, We'll see what happens if push comes to shove and Murray is on the sidelines.
Do you think that they'd get the production of quarterback with Brandon Whedon in for Tony Romo?
No, I don't believe
especially
so.
Especially not. It depends on if it's a day game here or a night game. Because if it's a night game, it'll be past his bedtime.
There you go. Need a zinger in there somewhere. This Sunday, Eagles travel to Arizona. Battle 5-1 teams. I think it was Randall Lou from the NFL Communications Department says the first time in.
Is it Randall Lou or Lou Randall?
Not quite sure.
Okay.
First time in their long story history, because they both used to be in the NFC East,
yep.
that they'll have met this late in the season, have had both teams had this good a record or better. I mean, it's quite remarkable on that standpoint.
I guess.
No.
Well, that's the first time, I think it was since 1978, that they're 5-1. So, I mean, it's been a while since they've been this good this early.
You know, and last year they were 10-6 and just missed the playoffs, arguably by that 3-point loss in Philadelphia last year. So you have a first-place team there. Eagles are in second place here. You know, it's quite amazing because neither team has been firing on all cylinders, but both teams have found gritty ways to win football games this year.
I was going to ask you about the Temple guys, Arians and Bulls.
Arians, Bulls.
Yeah.
I believe there might be one other Temple guy out there, too. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I can't think of. But, no, I mean, right now you can't say enough about the job that both those guys are doing. I mean, that defense, considering they've lost Darryl Washington, John Abraham, Matt Shaughnessy, Carlos
Dockett.
Dansby, Darnell Dockett, Calais Campbell's missed time as well. So the job that they've done is just phenomenal. They've had to change, really, their philosophy going from last year to this year. Last year they were a nickel defense, played mostly, you know, 3-4 base. And now they're a dime defense. They added Dion Buchanan, the rookie safety out of Washington State. He's a linebacker for them in dime defense. And that's really their base defense. They play that more than anything else. And, look, they're an aggressive front. They play a lot of man coverage on the back end. Cromartie and Patrick Peterson might be the best duo in football right now.
How are they playing, though? Because teams have not been afraid to test them. And is that because the run defense has been so stout, number one in the league against the run, and they're just like, hey, we got to go to the air? Or are Peterson and Corey not playing quite as well as they did in the past?
If you play a lot of man coverage, there are going to be times where you get beat. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter is that, you know, every once in a while you're going to get beat in man coverage. That's the nature of the beast. Patrick Peterson is the best corner in the game to me.
Really?
I think he's the best corner in the NFL. Just in terms of his physical tools and the skill set that he brings, he's unbelievable. And Cromartie is incredibly physically talented, too.
Well, it's not about the skill set. It's about the performance. Has he been playing like this?
I think he's playing as well as he's ever played. I mean, look, he's had some mental lapses. But, again, when the amount of times that you're playing man coverage, there are going to be times where you're going to get beat. That's
better than Bradley Fletcher?
Better than anybody in the NFL.
Okay.
Did you hear Chip Kelly gush about him
at
his press conference this week?
Peterson is unbelievable.
Okay. I mean, listen, I trust you.
Thank you.
You look at the offensive side of the football for the Cardinals.
I wanted to tell the Michael Kendricks story about Todd Bowles.
Oh, you do have to go to this. Yes.
I think it's a good example of how singularly focused football players are during the season.
That's a good way to spin it.
But this was last year before this was
last year before
the Cardinals game, which was after a bye. And Michael Kendricks was asked about Todd Bowles, who was his defensive coordinator for half the season of his rookie season. And Michael Kendricks stood there, said, "Todd Bowles from last year." And he had no idea who he was.
I felt bad asking the question. I figured
it was
like,
a layup. Oh, yeah, nice guy. And then later he remembered who he was. But the fact that a year later you couldn't even remember your defensive coordinator is a good and it's a classic. It's a great video. Todd Bowles from last year. Good stuff.
Quick look at the offense before we move on from here on the podcast. In past years, when we faced the Cardinals, it would always be about Larry Fitzgerald. That was the guy you had to start with, and that's the guy you had to stop, obviously. It seems like it's a much more balanced attack now that there's so many weapons. You have Andre Ellington and Stephon Taylor in the run game. You're going to have Michael Floyd and John Brown, the explosive rookie, helping on the receiving game. It just seems like there's many different ways that this Cardinals team can beat you.
Yeah, I mean, they're a vertical passing team. They like to get the ball down the field. A lot of shot plays, a lot of deep passing plays, and they'll go at you with a number of different ways. Andre Ellington, Michael Floyd, John Brown, the rookie out of Pittsburgh State. Really, they just come at you in a number of different ways, and I like the way that they've been able to spread the ball around. Carson Palmer, when he's been in, the Cardinals offense has been much more productive, particularly inside the red zone and on third down. With him healthy, they're a much better offense.
I thought you were going to pull an Adam Kaplan there on John Brown with me.
What's that? He can run?
You would say, Fran, you and I were there at the Shrine game with
right.
John Brown, and he stood out all week long.
He did, didn't he?
He did. But we thought he was too small. We're like, oh, he's a sixth-round pick or something like that.
Right.
But he was like, we were like, wow, he's explosive.
How big is he?
Explosive.
He's small. He's got to be 5'9".
Yeah,
5'8".
Doesn't look it though.
No, he's small.
Field, though.
And we were talking about it. We shot Eagles game plan this morning, and he's so small, and his helmet is so big. He looks like a Pee Wee football player running around because his helmet's so much bigger than the rest of his body. But he is dynamic. He's really, really good player for them. He scored a number of touchdowns already this year. They use him in the screen game. They use him in deep patterns. Really good route runner. He's turned out to be a really, really good pick for them so far. That whole rookie class on that team, right? They did a really, really good job. Buchanan's making an impact. They have brought in Ed Stinson from Alabama, Kareem Martin from North Carolina. I mentioned Brown as well.
I like Kareem Martin.
Yeah, Troy Nicholas, a tight end, is getting some reps as well. So, they're getting a lot of production from the rookie class.
All right, now let's bring on our special guest here on the Eagles Insider Podcast. Our special guest on this week's Eagles Insider Podcast, none other than cornerback Brandon Boykin. Brandon, welcome to the show. You came in at a very interesting time in the history of the franchise. 2012 was obviously a horrific season.
Right.
You dealt with that. You come in with Chip Kelly the next year, 2013, Eagles, slow start to the year, but bounce back, win the NFC East. This year, 5-1 start. How different is it this year as compared to your first 2 years with the team?
Well, I think my first year, just in general, was from one extreme to the other for me. I think just coming in and being a rookie, not really knowing what the NFL is about, and then having such a bad year, it kind of just allowed me to know what the worst of the worst was right off the bat. So we could only go for it from there. I faced a lot of adversity that year, and then, like you said, when Coach Kelly came in, things started to get better, and we're still building off of that. So, I think I started bad, but that's as bad as you can get, and we're getting a lot better now.
I was gonna talk about this season, and because last week, we were talking about it because it was the bye. We were going through all these superlatives for the Eagles season, and one of the questions was the Eagles storyline that we're most tired of hearing about. And I was thinking,
well, let's see. What would Brandon be? Which question are you most tired of asking in the locker room?
Am I most tired of answering?
Answering, yes.
Getting asked in the locker
room. Probably about myself, to be honest. Probably about
what's particular?
Are you cool with being the nickel as opposed to the outside corner? Do you eventually want to be an outside corner? Blah, blah, blah. I get asked that like 4 or 5 times a day.
Well, that was my answer. And so that was, if that's what I'm most tired of hearing about, I can't imagine
exactly
what it's like for you. Every day in the locker room, that's
right.
And there's 4 different people coming up to you at different times asking you questions. So.
Yeah, it's not all at once. It's like every 3 minutes.
Like, because they'll sidle over you. They'll be like, hey, Brandon.
By the way,
So,
my man.
I mean, how tired are you of hearing that? And how many different stock answers do you have in your mind for when someone comes up to you?
Early on I used to say, I'm doing exactly what I need to be doing, and I'm focusing on playing the nickel position because that's what I am in this scheme. But now I just tell people, you know how I feel about it. Like, don't ask me anymore. I'm not getting asked as much, but every now and then somebody will still ask, and it's not going to change, so I'd appreciate it for future reference, if anybody's listening to this, don't ask
me. Well, all it takes is one guy asking Bill Davis about it during the press conference, and then everybody else has to write about it, so they're all coming over to you. It's like,
but it's like the PSA. Do not ask Brandon.
Don't ask me.
About his role. Well, certainly the shutout.
Do you want to move to safety, maybe?
Maybe safety. Yeah. We can talk about that.
See, I would at least say the offensive positions, at least, because of how athletic and explosive you can be. So, the shutout, though.
Do you ever
get
in Chip or Coach Shermer's ear about getting an offensive play in there?
Nah, I don't. There's so much to worry about. I did, but there's so much to worry about now. NFL's a totally different scheme. I don't even think you could really be able to play both ways in the game, just the demand on your body.
Not just one play?
Not maybe one, but special teams and defense, then trying to play offense, that's a lot. That's a whole lot.
What's the biggest challenge of playing inside at the nickel corner spot?
I just think there's so much field that you have to work with. not just anybody can play the slot. Nobody gives the nickel corners of the NFL as much credit as I feel like they deserve, because there's so many different ways that a receiver can go every single play. Like, you don't have a sideline. You know, you're not playing against a short field. There's always multiple options for the receiver, and you got to be able to take away all of that and take away the deep threat and, you know, play the run and all of that. So I think just really knowing that you got to have your leverage at all times, that's the most important thing. You got to be quick enough to get where you need to be at the right time.
From the standpoint of the shutout, take us through how exciting those last few minutes were, because you guys have been close in the past to getting a shutout, but never able to seal a deal. How important was it for you guys against the Giants of all teams to be able to get that goose egg on the board? So
the last couple of minutes weren't exciting at all, because they were moving the ball.
Well, they're dramatic. As fans watching it was dramatic, and you're like, it's 27.
Well, we wanted the shutout, but like, we realized, okay, they're in like field goal range, and they kept calling timeouts. So we weren't sure, like, are they trying to, like, get in field goal range so they don't get shut out?
That would have been sad.
So we were kind of pissed off, but it ended up working out. We were able to get a sack. We were able to continue to get pressure even late in the game. And like you said, that's huge for us, because we were going into that bye week, and we carried that momentum into the bye week. And you know, we were trying to build off of that for this week too.
What was the Victor Cruz moment like for you, because you were the guy covering him there?
Yeah.
And so you go from, okay, you know, he dropped the ball, that's good, you know, no touchdown, and then you see that he's actually hurt. How quick was that? What was that moment like?
I mean, you automatically stop thinking about, you know, football and thinking about, you know, that guy, because I mean, this is his livelihood, is you know, how he plays and makes his money. But when I heard him screaming, before he hit the ground, he was grabbing his knee. He started screaming, like really screaming. And then I knew like it was real serious, and I didn't see anybody kind of running on the field. So I was signaling for somebody to come help him. He was just screaming, and you could tell that he was angry and upset about it. But we're all wishing him a speedy recovery. A great player. I enjoy going against him. So hopefully he'll be back next year.
Is that one of your favorite matchups?
Absolutely.
Because you get to play him multiple times, and he's always there. So.
And it's always a good matchup. He's one of the best slot receivers in the league. And, you know, that's everybody knows that. And, you know, everybody hated to see him go down.
I think you were talking about before, was that you had said that was your favorite interception from last year, the one you ripped away from him?
Yeah, it was. Man. Favorite one I've gotten so far.
Yeah. Even the Dallas one. Everyone would think the Dallas one come to mind when you told me that one. Like, yeah, from an athletic standpoint, yeah, I could see why, but – now, how much will you see Larry Fitz this Sunday?
I think a good amount. I think, you know, he lines up in the slot a lot. They motion a lot. So there could be times where he motions down, like the one and the two receiver are close. So I might end up guarding him, even though he's the outside receiver. So they do a lot of different stuff, a lot of different bunches and stacks and things like that to try to basically trick the defense. But, you know, we've been practicing it. We've been going over it. But we're prepared.
How did you spend your bye week?
I was down in Atlanta just relaxing, spent a lot of time with my fam, enjoying the weather down there. It's still like 78 to 80 degrees down south. Nice. So I was able to, you know, put some shorts on and be relaxed.
Second straight week, our rec league football game has been rained out today. I'm really bummed about that. Brutal.
Quarterback here.
Is that right?
Well, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn.
Now, how much from a workout standpoint do you do during a bye week?
not too much. Not too much, to be honest. I actually went for a run like twice.
The whole week?
Yeah, I went for a run twice. You got to give yourself time to just relax and get all the kinks out, get your body back right. And then, you know, as the week ends and you're about to come back to practice, you want to kind of rev your system back up. I feel good now. I feel like it was much needed, and I got as much as I possibly could out of that bye week.
Because we know how much time you dedicate to fitness.
Yeah.
You've done photo shoots and everything else. you're not afraid, you know, to show off the guns for the camera. So I know how much time, you know, even in, like, the bye week or during the season you have to spend.
Yeah, for me, like, my fitness and me working out and stuff is totally different during the season. Like, I'll get big and bulk up, like, off-season, and that's easy for me, like, because my body type. But during the season, like, I lose weight a lot, or like we're running so much that I'll lose muscle mass really quickly. So for me, most of it is just like maintaining what I've already gained in the off season. So I don't really try to get any bigger, or you know, I just try to maintain my strength and maintain my weight.
So how much weight will you lose, you know, during the course of a practice, a game?
If it's hot outside, like a camp practice, like July, August,
yeah,
easily you could lose like 7 to 8 pounds
really?
a day. Yeah, and then you'll get it back for the most part, like drinking water, eating. But that's kind of like the norm, to be honest, like 6 to 7 pounds of water weight and just running.
I need to start going to these practices.
Now, have you always been a physical freak?
As far as what, like?
In terms of your, from the athletic ability we've seen, from the highlights of you doing the slam dunks from high school, you know, to your build, has that always come easy for you?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's always come easy and natural to me, just being able to jump high and run fast and things like that. But I was always, like, the skinny kid in like, middle school and really high school, too. Like, I was taller than everybody. I stopped growing.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, like, I was probably, like, 5'8", 5'9", like, entering high school. But I just didn't grow as much as I thought I would. But I was skinny. And then around, like, my junior year, when I realized I probably would get a chance to play at the next level, I started taking weightlifting a lot more seriously, and then my physique was able to come up. But yeah, I've always been athletic for the most part.
Because did you have a picture of?
Yeah, we were trying to figure out. Lane Johnson had tweeted this once upon a time, and you know, we'll make sure we get this perfectly on camera there for. So, is this?
That camera there.
This here, right here. Yep. So we get
not as bulky, but you know, the cuts and things. I might have had those around like 6 or 7, but he's definitely well advanced for real.
We always, you know, everyone always talks about how there are so many former Texans on this team, but in the building, in the Eagles building, there are so many former Georgia guys.
That's true.
We've got Mark LeBlanc working the boards here.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of strength and conditioning guys, a bunch of media relations guys. Is that weird for you? And tell us about the Dogs season. What are you expecting?
Yeah, so it's not weird. It's actually cool having so many, like, Georgia alums and people here, you know, that you kind of knew back in college. Me and Keith Gray, he's actually my strength coach as soon as I got in college and all the way throughout.
Oh, really?
And he left and got here when I got here. So we've been with each other for the past, like, 6 years. It's cool, you know, just to kind of still have that. And we talk about Georgia and root for them every week. But I'm excited about my Dogs. I think, you know, early on we've had some rough starts. But our offense has been able to kind of carry us. And now, like, our defense is kind of catching on. And even though we're missing Gurley, you know, Nick Chubb is doing what he's supposed to do. So I think we'll be all right the rest of the season.
What's your predicted final four for the playoffs?
Predicted final four. Everybody's on Alabama. I don't think they're really that strong.
Okay, I like that.
I'm liking Ole Miss and Mississippi State, but they got to play each other at the end of the year. So
right. Only
one of them is going to make it. I think Ole Miss is going to make it.
Okay.
I think Georgia's going to make it.
That's good.
I think Georgia's going to make it. Ole Miss.
I like how you slipped that in there. Like, Georgia's going to make it.
Yeah, you know Georgia's going to. We don't even have to say that. Okay, so there's three left. Well, Georgia, Ole Miss, there's two left. So
a Georgia, Ole Miss SEC championship game.
Georgia.
So Georgia wins. But Ole Miss, that's their only loss, so they get into the
playoffs. Yeah, they'll still get in.
Okay, that works.
That's they're you know, they're tough. I think Florida State is going to get in still somehow. And that last one it's really tough for me. I don't know. There's a lot of, you know.
Don't give it to Oregon. There's too many Oregon.
Nah, I wouldn't give it to Oregon. I wouldn't
Michigan
even give
State,
it to them.
Maybe a Big 12 team.
I wouldn't give it to them either. I don't know, man. I really don't know. I thought Notre Dame was strong. They're still strong, but they
put on quite a show.
So maybe if they don't lose anymore, they might
be
able
to sneak
back
in. Okay, that's reasonable, I guess. I think they're going to lose to USC.
I mean, if you go in the broadcast business, you know, it's all about the strong opinions
there.
Put you on the spot there.
Georgia's going to win a natty, though. If
that's
you
all.
Me,
that's all.
That's
needs.
All that matters,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Could you look right in the camera and declare right there that
UGA national championship celebration parade in Athens. I'll be there.
Mark is just going crazy over
there. Brandon Boykin, thank you very much for joining us here on the Eagles Insider Podcast. Best of luck.
Appreciate
the rest
that.
Of the season.
See ya, Brandon.